And my boyhood idol, Dr. Morgus, has surprised me. He's teleported here from New Orleans. We're going to try to get the Digicam up, but this was so surprising that everybody's surprised, to tell you the truth. But we've got open lines this entire hour. We're going to have Dr. Morgus sit in with us, and he may pop a question or two with you when you call in. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and Dr. Morgus is sitting in with us. And let's go to the open line calls. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
My name is Brad. I'm calling for Dayton, from Dayton, Ohio.
Hi, Brad.
And I was going to talk to you in reference to your intelligent design roundtable the other night.
Sure.
Something amazing happened while waiting. This is so bizarre. While waiting on hold, I hear your first caller, a guy from Pikeville, Kentucky. Well, that's where I'm originally from.
Really?
I moved up here about two and a half years ago. But the funny thing is, he mentioned the man dog. And you made reference to a guy spotting the man dog or a creature
yes.
that could have been. That
yes.
was me.
Well, that was you who made that call?
That was me.
You got to be kidding me.
No, and I know you say you don't believe in coincidence, but that just amazed me.
This is one of those nights.
I'm telling you, it's just a surprise going everywhere. And I thought that was one of the most fascinating things. By the way, it's an honor to speak with you again and just to hear Morgus there. That's amazing, too.
Oh, that is. He's one heck of a guy.
And I would have loved to have seen your face, George.
Oh, total shock. Total shock. You know what's so funny is when I was, just impromptu, when I was talking about my tire episode, I just wanted to open up a surprise hotline. My staff had this weird look on their face. So I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe they don't like my idea, but, you know, the show must go on. But they couldn't believe that I had said that, and then pops Morgus. It's strange.
Well, I'll tell you what, George, I've been a regular listener to the show since about May. And I work third shift, and I work about 5-6 nights a week, and you get me through the night, and I just want to pay you this compliment, sir. I don't get much time to hang out with anybody. I work all night, I sleep all day, and then I'm right back to work. I consider you one of my good friends because you're always hanging out with me, sir.
Absolutely. And I would do that if we ever stumbled into each other.
Well, I appreciate it, okay. And I will listen, and you have a great night, sir.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George and Dr. Morgus, I got a freaky story for you.
All right.
Oh, hello there.
Took place at night in 1989, and it was between Christmas and New Year's. That's important. I was driving down Interstate 25 from Casper to Cheyenne and then Fort Collins, and I stopped off at Chugwater, a little spot in the road, tried to get back on the interstate, the entrance, but there was a detour, literally to the Twilight Zone. I followed this detour, never could get back on the interstate. Instead, I got on this two-lane old highway. So I followed this two-lane highway. It's dark now. And long about a little place called Federal, big, and it's hilly country, so you can't see what's over the next hill. Big headlights in front of me, some kind of army truck or something. You couldn't see what it was. And he just about runs me off the road. He's going 80, you know, past me. Then over the hill, without time to turn around, in my opinion, another or the same vehicle comes up behind me and tailgates me, right? Just like out of the movies. I'm going about 80 miles an hour now, and, you know, fighter pilot mode here. Okay, that happened about 6 or 7 times. Now, here's the real weird part. That stopped. Now, as I come around a bend, off about maybe 500 yards away is this weird light display. Now, it's on the ground. It never left the ground or anything. It wasn't a UFO. But it was strobe lights, blue and red. Red on the left, blue on the right. And it was so bright that about, you know, 300 yards or so, it's illuminating the inside of my car. And they're pulsing at a really weird strobe rate, okay? So as I get closer, you can't tell what this thing is because the lights are so bright.
Right.
It looks like one of those, you know, Chinese New Year costumes with all the shimmery
stuff,
undulating. Now, and I'm going, what the bleep is that?
With nobody in it, right?
Well, as I get, there's nothing, there's no, it doesn't look like an object. It just looks like like a slice of Las Vegas pulsing at me off to the left.
Okay.
Right? And it's fixed on one place. Now, as I get closer to it and pass it, I can tell what it is. You know what it is?
What is it?
It's a house, a suburban one-level house sitting 20 feet off the old highway with some bushes next to it, supposedly.
Well, what was giving it this look?
Well, like I said, it was between Christmas and New Year's, and supposedly these were Christmas lights strung across the fascia boards of this house. Nobody in their right mind would build a house 10 feet off the highway like that. It wasn't a ranch building or something. And nobody, no sign of life in the house, no reference to Christmas. I don't think anybody ever lived there.
Now, that is one heck of a surprise. What's the biggest surprise you've ever had there, Dr. Borges, in your life?
Well, of course, I had many in the lab here, you know. We expect things to do well, and sometimes, you know, things kind of have a way of, we don't call them disasters, we call them, well, you know, unscheduled discrepancies, what we call them.
I used to remember watching your lab experiments while I was a kid in Detroit, and God, I was so fascinated with them, but I've got to tell you, none of them ever worked.
Oh, no. That's what you thought as a child, you see. You were not an adult at the time. There's some meaning in everything we do here. And we did it for the children. We'd like to educate them so that would bring them into the program. But there's some very high-level thinking here in the programs, George. You know that.
Well, you had a lady who wanted to lose weight in... she was relatively thin, and she went into some machine...
Oh, yes.
She came out weighing 400 pounds.
Well, that can happen. You know, you have what we call reverse osmosis is what it is. It just takes place. It's a phenomenon that actually happens in some experiments. But as you know, we did eventually take the liquid out of her, and we were able to actually use we turned that liquid into a very wonderful chemical product.
There was an experiment you conducted where somebody had disappeared in your laboratory, and then you called an asylum to try to get this guy taken out, and that's when he apparently disappeared, and they took you away.
Oh, yes, he played a joke on us, you see. This was Dr. Westerbrook, I believe he was. Yes, he was fooling with the colorless molecule as we were experimenting with, and we had turned a lot of solid, we could actually make things disappear chemically. And he injected himself and was trying to restore his appearance, and he came to us. And, of course, I could not cure the man. I didn't know what kind of chemicals he was playing with, and he was an amateur, of course.
You never got government funding for anything?
No, we don't take no, they would control us if we did. See, that's the difference, George. You know how the system works.
Absolutely.
Now. All these colleges are controlled by the drug companies and the government and the foundations. You think Morgus would take any kind of federal money? No way.
No.
We do our own research at the Old City Ice House, and of course, and many times people will criticize us. They've called me all sorts of things, you know, and I'm sure there are people out there right now saying, well, who is this guy, you know? They're trying to call me a quack of quasi-science. This is unfair, but look at the things I'm turning out now, George. I'm working on something right now to stop hurricanes. You know...
And you teleported yourself here?
Well, look, these brains up here at MIT and Stanford, they came up with an idea of blowing up the hurricane, you know, going right into the eye. And
trying to seed the thing. Yeah.
Right, seeding it, and then they were going to drop an atomic bomb in there. And I said, that is the dumbest thing science could ever do.
I agree.
But I am working on an idea, George. You know, I had an idea to come and help Los Angeles at one time. I have what is called the Morgusotronic Electro-Laser Static Sky Sweeper.
Sky Sweeper?
That's
to get
right.
Get rid of the smog.
That's right, and what it works like? It works like a huge cleat light. You don't have to use for the great Academy Awards and whatever, but you sweep the skies with this thing. And it, you know, in every city. By the way, speaking of Los Angeles, we have a lot of this pollution here, and every cubic foot of pollution, you have over a million solid pieces of solid what we'd call ash. People are breathing. this would wipe that out of the sky.
That's a great experiment.
It will work. It will work, George. And you wipe the skies. Once a month you do this. Of course, the airplanes would not be able to fly at that time. Just for three or 4 hours. You clean the city. Okay.
I love that.
You also lose a few birds, but, you know, you got to trade off some kind of way. Remember, in this country, there's no free lunch, right?
That's true.
So you could do that. But, George, listen, I told you about that because I want to use this on hurricanes. I want to get us a big C-30, or I want to actually get a Hurricane Hunter plane. I want to go into the center
and sweep it.
No. Listen to this, George. Here's the complexity. The hurricane has a center, absolute calm in there. And all around that calm, maybe 30 miles of calm, you have a membrane. It's an aquatic membrane. It's all water, George.
True.
But believe me or not, it's only about 3 feet thick. And the actual circumference of this thing doesn't matter. But if I could take this sky sweeper, this laser, and drop it from a plane and beam it down in there and put a slice. It would be like cutting a rubber band, George. The whole thing would not explode. It would implode. It would implode, George. It'll work, I tell you.
Great idea.
It is. If they could get in there and run the beam, it would be like the old ray gun idea, you know? And you just run it. You slice the membrane in the middle of this quiet area of the hurricane. It will work, George. And one day, mark my word, if they don't let me do it, they're going to steal the idea, George, and they're going to do it. And we have to talk about it first.
All right. We will. God, that's brilliant. First-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
I got a surprise. I couldn't mark the number down for you.
All right.
I used to haul explosives for the government back in 87.
Okay.
And I was driving across Texas, and I fell asleep for 150 miles.
You fell asleep for 150 miles?
Yeah.
Come on. You were still driving?
Yeah. And something slapped me, and I watched this gray mist just disappear through the side of my truck.
Who was driving while you were in La La Land?
I have no idea.
You're serious?
I'm dead serious, because I had somebody else follow me, and he said, I was talking to him on the radio, but I have no recollection of it.
Nothing. And what about the driving? No swerving, no problems?
Swerving, no nothing.
Is it possible? See, I have driven distances, and between two points, I somehow don't remember how I got from one to the other, but not 150 miles. Is it possible you could have just mentally blacked out, even though you were still aware of what you were doing?
It could have been, but I just can't figure out what that gray mist was I saw leaving the side of my truck.
It could have been your guardian angel.
That's the only thing I can figure out. Either that or my dad passed away, and he was driving the truck for me.
Somebody did. I'll tell you, that's an incredible story. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for playing a Navy theme song tonight.
You are welcome. We've got the Air Force theme song coming up. In the next hour, we're playing the Marine hymn.
And I have one question for you.
Yeah.
You had a guy on there a couple months ago that was doing some Bigfoot research up there.
Yes.
And have you heard anything more from him?
He thought that they had captured a Bigfoot. Once he got up there, he did not. And I have not heard from him since.
Oh, darn. Well, thank you for all the good work you do.
Okay, you're welcome. Appreciate you being on the program. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Yeah, it is you.
Hey, this is Mary from Portland.
Hi, Mary. Say hi to Morgus, too.
And Morgus.
Hello there, my dear. How are you tonight?
Oh, darling, you know what? Hey, I can't figure you out, but I wanted to tell you what my idea is on those hurricanes.
Well, he may steal the idea, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this is another idea that I think maybe possibly could work, is putting a bunch of ice in that water, you know, because they said that heat, you know, the warm water, it has somehow depends on what the hurricane strength is.
What do you think of that, Morgus?
Well, you know, they can do that right now. You know, they can seed it with this.
Just think of all that ice that they had stored that was going back and forth between New Orleans and Kentucky or some other place that they just was going back and forth. Nobody knew where in the hell they were supposed to be going. And FEMA, they were bass backwards there, you know. So But I thought that that would, you know, and can't figure out how come no meteorologists come up with this idea.
Well, they've come up with that before. You know, they've tried that. They've tried it. They've seen it. But they can't control what they're doing. See, what I want to do, it's going to happen right then when I do that. When I run that beam and break that membrane.
Brilliant.
You're going to see the whole thing just impose and suddenly because it's going to turn into a tropical storm just as I predict. I promise you that. You'll see it. It's going to happen.
What? Kurt Line, welcome to the show. Hi there. Hello.
Hi, George.
Yes.
How you doing?
Hi, fine. Say hi to Morgus.
Hey, Morgus, how you doing?
Hello, buddy. What are you doing tonight over there?
Oh, you know what? I'm out camping here, just south of Rochester, Minnesota.
I've been there.
Have you?
Oh, sure. You know, I used to live in Minneapolis.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Okay, cool. Well, anyhow, we're out here camping, so I heard that scream of yours earlier gave me the chills.
It was, oh, my God, dude. It was the man creature.
Oh, don't remind me. Anyhow, I got a quick story for you.
Sure.
We used to live here in Boston, Boston, Mass, and we travel up to Salem every once in a while, you know, home of the witches.
You got it.
And, man, George, got the weirdest feeling up there.
It is. I've been there one time in my life. I, too, in the summertime, lived in the Boston area because that's where my mother's from. And up until I was like 15 years old, we'd go there for the entire summer months and went to Salem once. And you can feel whatever it is there.
Oh, there sure is a presence. It's there. And you can feel it. It scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's evil, but you can feel the horror of whatever happened, the burning of the people, you know, when they burned them to the stake. There's a strange negative energy out there.
They're there. They're watching over you.
You got that right. Hey, thanks.
Thanks.
Appreciate you being on the program. Morgan, so the lab is rebuilt. That's okay.
Oh yes, the lab is rebuilt, and my landlady who lives downstairs, you know, she had to evacuate, and we didn't do that, of course, because there's no way we could leave the lab. And in fact, I had to get permission to come here tonight, you know, from the higher order. These are the wonderful people that are backing my work here, and they're the ones that admire what you're doing, George. By the way, they are so impressed with what you've done, just mentioning our operation and what we're trying to do. Although we have been, you know, made fun of here and there, we have certainly brought to the attention of the companies and the various experimental research labs that we are here now. We're on their level. You know, I was even thinking of changing the name of my outfit, which is called MAMI, the Momus A. Morgus Institute of Science, to MIT. Morgus Institute of Technology.
That would be different.
Well, you know, I have a lot of their graduate students that come into my university. I have the smallest university in the world, Scientific Research Center, that we have in the Old City Ice House. Now, I know some people say, no, wait a minute, this is silly, having a university above an Old City Ice House. But let me tell you, we take in six students a year, and they go through a rigorous course in everything. I mean, you're talking from metaphysics to nanotechnology to atomic research. All of this is way beyond anything they get at MIT or at Stanford.
Well, that'd be a great institute.
Yes, so that's what I hope to do, and I just may end up doing that.
I tell you what we'll do also, Dr. Morgus, during the break, you and I will pose for a little picture, and we'll try to get it up on our coasttocoastam.com digicam before we're off the air tonight.
Wow.
All right,
yeah,
let's do that. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And with my dear friend, Dr. Momus Alexander Morgus, I'm not sure I can take any more surprises tonight, by the way. Now, this Veterans Day, and now the next morning, our tribute to those of you who served and continue to serve in the United States Air Force. Well, the Digicam picture has been taken, but it's not yet been sent through the system. So once it does, I'll let you know. Sean will let me know, and then you can click it when you see the icon. Let's go to the phones east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Sweepo, Louisiana.
In Louisiana? Well, you're down in Dr. Morgus's neck of the woods.
Not quite, but down that way. Because I live in Sweepo. I think it's closer to Texas and Mississippi than it is.
Ah, you're on that side. Okay, what's on your mind?
Okay. First of all, I want to tell you about this dream I have. And first, I'm completely blind. But some nights, I think that I'm standing up on the side of my bed, looking down at me, sleeping. Now, I've just been blind 12 years, so it looked like I'd see my little fat face, you know.
Your little fat face, huh?
That's true. And then something else I wanted to tell you, too, George. I remember when you were talking about your son, you know, was in school.
Yeah.
Well, my grandson had graduated from Northwestern before then.
Uh-huh.
And he went to school down at Baton Rouge, Louisiana State Trooper School.
Sure.
And he was the one of the ones that was down in New Orleans helping them.
Okay. You know, All right. Good for him.
Uh-huh. And he just loved it. He said, Mama, well, I was a nurse until I went blind. He said, Mama, I know how you feel now when you used to go to that hospital every day. He said, because down there, I felt like I was really helping another human soul. And listen, did I hear somebody say you were leaving?
Oh, no, I'm not going anywhere.
You promised the first night you were there that you would be there until 2012.
And maybe beyond. I may have changed my mind. I may hang in even longer.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be listening. Me and all my old friends listen, see all of us, and I was saying this now, and we can listen all night and sleep most of the day.
So I'm going to have Dr. Morgus invent something to keep me going so I can just stay on the show.
Well, George, you have such a wonderful show. Shows like this give people something to think about, something good to think about.
You got that right.
And I love it, okay?
So you're all set for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I think the two daughters will take care of that.
You got that right. Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, and thank you.
All right, bye. Can you invent something to keep me 200 or 300 years old?
Well, George, I don't want to let this out on the public, so if they overhear this, I must tell you, I've got something, George, I think could help you. You know the Galapagos turtle lives to 180 years.
Yes, that's true.
All right. I went into the glands of this creature. George, it works.
What do you mean?
It works.
What is it? I'm not taking any medicine or anything.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It can actually...
No pills.
It can stymie the dissolvement of your very genes that sort of breaking down. You see, you're dying right now. All of us are.
Morgus.
Oh yes, all of these subparticles of our skin are dying off, and then we're replacing them. But this Galapagos turtle, it doesn't happen that way. This creature lives on and on and on, and you know, some disease finally kills it. And we have to use that. That tells us that creatures can live that long. If that ugly-looking creature can live that long, logically, we can do it. So I've got something. If you're willing, I'll let you get
we'll
a little shot
about
of it
that
and
later.
See what it'll do for you, George. That this could possibly work. So there's something to work.
You are absolutely brilliant.
Well, I tell you what, that's what they tell me upstairs, you know.
What's your IQ? Has it ever been recorded?
Well, you've heard of Mensa?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Morga. Well, I know this may sound strange, but nobody's heard of it before. Because you're putting me on the spot, George, I've got to tell you the honesty.
Well,
I will always be up front with you, George.
Yes, I know that.
And Morga is it. You know what men's are, what, 140 or whatever? That's nowhere, George. In fact, you brought up a subject, George, we have to talk about some night. Believe it or not, George, this is the program that could turn this whole thing around.
It's a powerful program.
How do you think we can change what's going on in this world, George? We're not there. We've lost 2,000 years of growth and intellectuality. We really have, George. You know, what was it? We've only had the written language for 5,000 years. We've only had, what else have we had? We've only had the printed... The print only came out with the Gutenberg printer, what, 300 or 400 years
we've
ago?
We've only had cell phones for...
Well, we haven't had cell phones. Everything happened in the last, what, 80 years.
Exploded.
Right. George, this should have happened 1,000 years ago.
UFO alien technology, maybe.
Well,
reverse engineered?
George.
What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But friends, I can guarantee you, you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well. He's been on the program several times.
Oh, really?
Dear friend.
Well, has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You
know, a wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, now I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting it down, George, but listen to this. I want these people
not
to hear
many
this.
Many people are up to your level.
Well, intellectually,
as much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're at my intellect, you cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. And what are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing rocks.
George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't swing at you, Marcus.
No, George, I can stop you. I have that power.
All right, we'll try.
The psychokinesis thing works, George. You can move things.
If it doesn't, I'll break your nose.
Well, you know, things go wrong sometimes around me. But, like I say, George, I'll be an example of what happened.
All right, we'll do that next hour.
All right, let's go for it.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from British Columbia.
Well, welcome to the program, and what's on your mind?
Well, it's funny. I'm sitting in a parking lot, and I just seen a wolf come up, which is completely different from anything I was going to talk about in the first place, but it's a coyote, I think, it looks like, running across Quitlam Center parking lot. Anyways, about 3 years ago, my cousin was killed by her husband.
Oh.
Left behind three little babies in the house when it happened, and all my family members know that he did it, and so did the police, but they are not prosecuting him in Calgary. And I talked to my aunt this afternoon, and just out of the blue, we started talking about it because we kind of let it go. I just had two small children recently.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to upset me during my pregnancy, so we kind of started talking about it again. Apparently, she actually was contacted over the internet in a poker chat room one night by a psychic or a medium or some lady who actually in Toronto has solved many different murders.
Okay. And there are some out there that have done this.
Right. And she named a couple people, and I don't know if you guys can check into this or not for me, but Allison Parrott back in Toronto in 85, I think it was, somewhere around there, she was murdered, and apparently this woman found her and did it with the police. Anyways, long story short, they've been talking over the last couple of months, and my aunt just kind of brought me in on it this afternoon, and I had a two-hour conversation with her. She told me things about myself that I had never told anybody else before. She walked me through the entire murder, and I have to find this guy and get him. And I don't know where to start. I do because I'm strong and I know I can do it, and I believe in everything that you guys are talking about.
You cannot get this guy on your own.
No, I realize this. This is why I'm asking for help. I need to find the right resources to get at this because he's got these two small children. He lives in Canada, and there's been some unsolved rapes, 7 in fact, in his area. And I very strongly believe, and so does this woman, that he's the one doing it. So this is a very important issue, and I feel very strongly towards it. And it was just by chance I had a good fight with my husband, left the house and found your radio station. And just this is the first time I've ever called in to anybody and even listened to a show like this. So.
Well, I got to tell you, there's no question that some good psychics have an ability to be able to see. And if she is as good as she is supposed to be, the thing she has passed on to you could very well be accurate, could be true. Now, you're saying, though, that law enforcement just really hasn't done anything about this?
Well, see what happened. This happened in Calgary, in northwest Calgary, and this was a very publicized murder. And the prosecutor had been sued, or the city had been sued for a wrongful molestation case just before this with the same prosecutor, the head crime.
All right. Well, this is what I'm going to recommend that you do, because I obviously can't solve this crime tonight. But I'm going to recommend this for you. I want you to contact several of the close media people out there. They can be radio stations, newspapers, and television stations. As a matter of fact, I suggest you get a hold of all of them. Start giving them some information. Once they start asking questions of police, you'll find that they tend to get very interested in these subjects. And I would do that first and foremost, but get to know, like you called this show, get to be friends with some of the people that are media people in your area, and eventually somebody there is going to do the right job and help you. And if this person is indeed the one, the culprit, and it turns out that he's convicted, well, then maybe justice will be served. So I'd recommend that you do that first, okay? Thanks for calling. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
I'm Jim, calling from Belmar, New Jersey.
Hello, Jim.
I listen to you over 11:50 a.m. WDEL, Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh, sure. You pick us up out there. Great.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's another station with better reception, but I have to go down to 11:50 from 12:10, the Big Talker in Philly, because they don't carry the first hour of your show.
Ah, okay. I know we're number one in Philadelphia, so we're going to have to get after them to do that.
Yeah. I have a question for Dr. Morgus.
Sure. He's here.
About 50 years ago, somebody created a carburetor that would give a big V8 engine in an automobile 75 miles to the gallon on the open highway. But at the time, the oil companies all got together and paid the automobile manufacturers not to market it because they were afraid they'd lose too much money at the gas pumps.
Yes.
And since, one of my relatives got a copy of the papers that this guy left, but they only give you the first 75% of what his work accomplished, and you have to figure out the rest on your own. And I'm thinking, with today's crisis and all the people on the road that we didn't have 50 years ago, if Dr. Morgus would be able to get these papers and finish what the government doesn't let anybody have, you know, they have to figure on their own, because I don't know if they didn't get the last 25% of what the paperwork had, or if the government just won't give it to anybody. But I figured Dr. Morgus is about the only intelligent person that could accomplish what this guy did originally, and if he'd be able to market it so that we could actually get a break where we deserve one.
Well, how do you handle this there, Morgus? What do you do?
I'll tell you, boy, he's right on to something here, George. But I've got to reveal something I was going to hold back. You know, sometimes it's the right hour, the right time to throw this out there, because I've got to help my country here. We are being held down. We're being held as prisoners by all the oil monsters. And I told you before, you know, we have this more gas thing that we're working on.
You're supposed to give me that information.
Well, George, you're still on that.
I carry the ball for you.
But here's what I have to tell you, George. We have a backup. Let me tell you, George, do you realize that when you put gasoline in your car, do you know that 99% of that gasoline is consumed in moving the car and not you? Did you ever think of that, George?
Well, yeah, but you're in the car.
Now, wait a minute. Look, we're working in Detroit right now. Dr. Brelowski is my man up there. He runs the lab in Detroit. That's where the cars are.
He's been with you a long time.
All right, we're going to go talk to Ford or somebody like that. These cars, I have come up with a styrofoam, George, that's harder than steel. You'll be able to pick up a car. We're going to make that 3-ton car like 400 pounds. Imagine something like that with a V8 engine. It can be done, George. I have the schematics.
You'll get 400 miles to the gallon.
Easy. Absolutely. You're mathematically correct there. You see what I'm talking about? In other words, we have to make the car lighter. We've got to get rid of all this metal, and we're turning in new products now. It's all involved in nanotechnology, George. You know what that's about. That's where it's going, George. So I want that young man that called in to realize that we are working on something. And I tell you, one day they're going to wake up and see the headlines and say, my gosh, why didn't we think of that?
All right. Well, Morgus, we're going to be back in a moment. We're going to take final phone calls next hour. And then you really, really want me to do that thing with you, huh? Where you can stop me in mid-motion.
I'll do it right here on the air, George. And by the way, the engineer over here, he will be the witness. He will be. Will you be the witness? Okay, if you're not, I'll punch him.
All right, we'll be back in a moment with Dr. Morgis and the rest of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And at the end of the hour, my rendition of The Inexperienced Ghost by H.G. Wells.